and welcome to Two Words Wolves Pod. I'm Ryan Eichten, and today the two words are solo pod. Just me today. Had to get on here and break down what has been just a truly insane, about 72 hours here for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Kind of went back and forth on which game to dive into first, whether the last night's Grizzlies game, I'm recording this early Friday morning, or to go into Tuesday's loss against the Milwaukee Bucks. I'll kind of leave it up to the audience. I'm going to start with the Memphis game just because it's top of mind. But if you want to head down to the description of the pod and go start with the Milwaukee game first, you're more than welcome to do so. But yeah, going to start with the incredible victory last night over the Memphis Grizzlies. Just a game that the Wolves simply needed to have, probably regardless of the Milwaukee outcome on Tuesday. But certainly once you lose that game, the Wolves just needed to have this game. They wouldn't have been mathematically eliminated from the top six if they would have lost to Memphis, but considering the number of teams around the league that aren't incentivized to win, and the Wolves will see that tonight and on Sunday as well, but just considering the amount of teams, they just would have needed multiple teams to lose out, and it's just not realistic, especially when teams are playing each other as well. So someone's going to obviously win at least a game there. But yeah, this Memphis game is incredibly interesting to me. A few takeaways, obviously the 52 point franchise record for a quarter pretty much saves their season to this point. Down the stretch of that first half, they were guarding really poorly. The guys came out after the game and said, like, we needed our ass chewed out in the locker room, and they came out and immediately had their best defensive quarter, at least volume scoring wise, in the third quarter, and then scored just an incredible number of points in that third quarter. And ultimately it saves their season, because now all they got to do is win two games against two tanking teams to make the playoffs. They are 19.5 point favorites against Brooklyn. That's 3 points more than they were favored against Philly, and they won. And I think 5 points more favored than they were the first time they played Brooklyn and torched them. So you'd expect to hopefully get a win, but obviously we'll see. Memphis does kind of start chipping away at the lead. It did feel different than what we'll talk about with the Milwaukee game, just because the Wolves are still competing in that game. Obviously, the fourth quarter, I wouldn't categorize it as a good quarter for the Wolves, but there's a difference between melting down and the other team going on a run. Memphis just went on a run, and the Wolves were able to, the lead got down to 10 at one point, and that was as low as it got. The Wolves were fairly comfortably in that game, and just kind of a good example of why when you build a lead up to 20, it got up to 23, then when the other team makes a run, you're not screwed. And obviously they were at 24 the night before or the game before, so it isn't always about the point value, but like, it just, when you're up 20 plus points in the fourth quarter, it really doesn't take much of I mean, the Memphis got it down to 10, and it's just like the Wolves get a stop or two and a bucket or two, and the game just ends because the other team runs out of time. And that's, we'll go over the Milwaukee loss and why that was so frustrating, because the opposite happened, but the Wolves were able to hold on to this. Like I said, I tweeted out before the game that this was I couldn't think of a good adjective. I wrote biggest. I couldn't think of a better adjective to describe. It was we'll just go with biggest. Find a better adjective if you can for me, but the biggest regular season game in the history of the franchise. And the obvious kind of games to refute that come to mind are two seasons ago against New Orleans. That one, this one to me is clearly bigger because the Wolves have a chance to avoid the play-in, or are likely to do so, where that New Orleans game was just to get into the top half of the play-in. They were still already locked into the play-in. So that one, and honestly, that one just kind of comes to mind first because it's the double punch game. It's Rudy punches Kyle, and then Jaden punches a wall. And they're kind of, even though they win that game and they end up making the playoffs, their season kind of ends that night because they don't have Jaden for the playoffs, and Rudy gets suspended for the play-in, where if they would have been able to beat the Lakers, they play a Memphis team that the Lakers ended up beating, and maybe you win that game, whatever. And then the other obvious candidate is 2018 versus Denver. Now, that one, no play-in tournament back then. That was winner get in to end a very long playoff drought. So if someone, I don't have a great argument against someone that says that was a bigger regular season game, they might be right. But again, it kind of goes back to like the adjective I'm trying to find, because in terms of the Wolves' chances to win, let's say one playoff series, two playoff series, three playoff series, all of those numbers, the Wolves' chances of doing so went up. The jump that it went pregame yesterday to postgame yesterday is the biggest jump you will see, I think, the biggest jump you will see in a regular season game in Wolves history. Because if they lose that game, they're in the play-in, they're the 8 seed almost certainly, and they have to win a road game just to avoid going to OKC on short rest for the round one. I mean, that is just a disaster scenario. Obviously, you could just win that game like they just did at Memphis. You win that game and you're facing Houston and you're not in a much worse spot than you would be if the Wolves do end up making the top six. But just so much, there's such a bad outcome there if the Wolves lost this Memphis game. And now everything is in front of them. They could be the 4 seed and play Denver. That would probably be my dream scenario, where you're playing a Denver team who shockingly fired their coach in front office. Not that they did so, because I think, kind of reading some reporting out of there, it seems like stuff was bumbling over there for a while, but that they did so with 3 games left in their season. Denver got a win on Tuesday, or on Wednesday, excuse me, to kind of salvage whatever the heck is going on there. But yeah, now if the Wolves win out, they clinch a top six, but honestly, their most likely seed is either 4 or 5. Basel Reference has it as 4. So, I mean, if they're the 4 seed, they're either going to be favored or a complete toss-up in the first round. And maybe you're more likely to play OKC in the second round. I'm honestly, once you get past the first round, it's harder to kind of gain out matchups if the Wolves are trying to theoretically make the finals. I'm not sure it really matters if you're playing OKC in the second round or the third round. So I'm kind of more focused on who they get in the first round, get a good matchup so that you can get to the second round, get as many playoff reps for Ant and all that. But this win sets them up really well. The biggest takeaway from kind of going more granular with it, Anthony Edwards, 44 points. He was sensational in this game. Didn't have a fourth quarter point. Didn't necessarily need him to. Like I said, lead never got down to double digits. He was really good in the Milwaukee game too for some stretches, but was as big of a culprit as any in that breakdown. But the biggest takeaway is the Grizzlies, if they do face the Grizzlies in the playoffs or in a play-in, both of which seem unlikely at this point, but like the Grizzlies just don't have anyone to guard Anthony Edwards. And the more I kind of think about it, that has a lot more to do with Anthony Edwards than it does opposing defenses. And I think we're going to kind of, especially after the Friday set of games, when everyone only has one game left and you can really start to dive deep into only a handful of scenarios of where the Wolves will play for the playoffs or play in. There aren't going to be a lot of teams, obviously Oklahoma City stands out in this, but that you say, okay, that team does have a specific defender for Ant. There aren't many teams that have that. And that's because Anthony Edwards is one of the, I don't know, the number isn't important, 5, 6, 7 best players in the NBA and projects to be basically a Hall of Famer, a top whatever player ever. And so they're just kind of similar to some lesser extent, like Luka Doncic, to Jokic, like, there aren't anyone that can guard these guys where if Ant is playing his game, he doesn't go off. So that's like, the Memphis game was a playoff game. And it should have been treated as such by the team, and it was. Because that game against Memphis affects your playoff odds as much as any singular postseason game does. That game probably affected their playoff odds more than game one of whatever series they play. It'll be much easier for them to recover from a game one loss in a playoff series than it would have been for them to recover from a Memphis loss. Like, just looking at teams that have, like, I'm not sure Memphis doesn't. I'm not sure. I guess Golden State has like Jimmy to put on him. I think Jimmy's probably too slow at this point of his career. Denver certainly doesn't. We know that. the Clippers could put Kawhi on him, kind of similar to Jimmy to a lesser extent. Like, are they going to want to put their oldest guy on Ant? The Lakers don't really. The top two teams, Houston and Oklahoma City, definitely do. But that's just kind of where I'm at with Ant and the Wolves, is just that it's not just that teams don't have guys to guard Ant, quote unquote. It's more that Ant is good enough that even if you do, he's still going to be able to score a bunch of points and lead the Wolves in the playoffs. So my biggest takeaway from that Memphis game is the Wolves are just built for the playoffs, I think. It's honestly more of a negative for them, because if they were just even slightly more built for the regular season, they'd be looking at a top three seed, kind of more in that where Houston is right now, if they would just take care of business in some of these, I don't even know what kind of games you want to call them, but if they were able to take care of business when they're up by 20 and or playing Washington or whatever, like, they would have a couple more wins and that would get them an even better playoff slot. But the Wolves are just built for the playoffs. This Memphis game is such a perfect example of me. All the baggage, again, I'm just going to keep teasing the Milwaukee game here. All the baggage from that kind of loss, just kind of so much of that goes away. The biggest thing is the fourth quarter stuff that continuously is seemingly getting worse. The clutch time play is seemingly getting worse. That's the biggest worry about a playoff series. You avoided it against Memphis last night. That'll probably be the best way for the Wolves to win quote unquote clutch games, is just to avoid them altogether when you have a lead. Put the team away before the last 5 minutes. But a lot of the other stuff, the Wolves are ninth in offense and sixth in defense. That's a type of team that's going to be able to win playoff series. And what's been interesting to me is there's been three teams, while the Nuggets and the Grizzlies have completely fell down the standings and they have both fired their coaches, there's been three teams that have risen up to create this morass of teams that are all bunched together, 4 through 8. The Warriors, the Clippers, and the Wolves, all of which have played fantastic over the past 20 or so games. Each of them have won like 14 of their past 20 games, 15, 16. And from what I've seen, and maybe this is just how national media works, the Clippers and the Warriors have gotten so much more coverage as a team that can make the finals, that can win whatever X playoff series. And the Wolves have just gotten none of that, to me, from what I've seen. And that's, to me, the Wolves have either a better or as good of a shot to win a X given playoff series than those teams. The Wolves have the best player, I would argue, maybe Steph. It's hard to parse where some of these older guys are at with their crew, but the Wolves have just as good of a top player as these teams. Kawhi has been playing fantastic. It's just interesting to me that these teams, that the Clippers and the Warriors, get so much national pub as teams that playoff teams should be scared of. And personally, I think the Wolves are right up there with those teams. And if they can just get into the playoffs, which they are two games, they're still eighth, but that kind of hides the fact that the Clippers and Warriors play each other. So either the Clippers will drop down or the Warriors will drop out of tied with the Wolves, and the Nuggets play the Grizzlies. So same scenario there. It's just the Wolves are in a good spot. They're a really good team. They're likely going to finish only 2.5 games shy of their Vegas over under, and they're going to make it out of the play-in. I think a lot of discussion about, like, we'll talk about the Cat trade in the offseason. I think there'll be a retrospective. We'll probably do a whole podcast on a whole Cat trade retrospective. What does this season look like if Cat isn't traded? But ultimately, in a quote-unquote down season, whatever you want to call this year, the Wolves have been able to salvage still an incredible season. They're going to, my biggest thing, get Ant more playoff reps. We've seen every time you get Anthony Edwards into a playoff series, he takes another leap. He gains more superpowers. That's my biggest thing. Get him a playoff series. Get him a second one, hopefully. And I guess if you're there, you can... No one other than Oklahoma City is quote-unquote likely to make the West Finals, but the Wolves have a good shot as anyone. And that kind of leads me into the Milwaukee loss. It was brutal. I was there. I drove the 5 hours there and back from the Twin Cities to go to that game. Random aside, I see it. It's probably more about the Twins than the Wolves, but I see a lot of people saying like, "Oh, they lost. Why did I spend the money?" And my thing has always kind of been, if you're paying for a sporting event, whether it's to watch it on TV, whether it's to go even just a local game, like I did drive, if your enjoyment of that game is solely based on the outcome of it, or if your determination of going to that game was worth it based on the outcome of that game, then you shouldn't do it. That's always because you can't count on even, I mean, the Milwaukee loss is as frustrating as it gets. But if you're counting, then watch it on TV. If you're more about the outcome of the game, watch it on TV. I guess the price to do that is tough too. But what I'm saying is I don't regret driving out there for such a crappy game. Or crappy outcome. Fun game, crappy outcome. Because that's not why I do it. I do it to gain information about the team, to cover them, to go on a mini work vacation for myself. So that's an aside. But the Wolves are up 24 with 10 minutes left. And they end up losing, and the game's over by about the 2-minute mark. A truly spectacular collapse. A 34-3 run given up. And at the time, I think everyone was just like, this is just who they are. They are a team that doesn't have the mental edge or just falls apart. And they did. They absolutely fell apart in that game. It's in a one game sample, it's as unacceptable as a game gets. But I think what kind of gets lost in that when people talk about this is just who the Wolves are. Well, the flip side is also true that when the Wolves are at their lowest, they also rebound. And them winning in Memphis is just not surprising to me. Part of that is Memphis is down a couple guys. The Jalen Wells injury looked really scary, and that was a guy that would have guarded Ant. So the Wolves were fortunate there that he was unavailable for that game. Brandon Clark, another Grizzlies player that the Wolves have obviously have experience against, but it's just not surprising that the Wolves were able to rebound from just a spectacular loss, because they've been doing it basically the entire Ant era, or at least since they've started making the playoffs under the Ant era. To a lesser extent, the year that ended in Memphis, the Wolves started out the season poorly and rebounded with the best offense in the second half of that year. The first Rudy Gobert is a perfect example of that. They were dead in the water so often that season, and they fought back to make the playoffs, which is important because they did not want to hand Utah a pick that could have ended up being Victor Wembanyama. And then even last year, there was the Denver series is a perfect example. They go up 2-0. They're as high as they've been as a franchise maybe has ever been. And they lose three straight, including just a Jokic masterclass in game 5. And what did they do? They respond and have one of the, they were up 50 in game 6, and then they're down 20 in game 7. What do they do again? They come back. So my point is, it's absolutely true that this is just who this team is. You can't count on them night to night, especially in a regular season sense. But that's complimentary too. Like it's not that they're always bad, it's that they're inconsistent. And you see those inconsistencies, and we saw last year in the playoffs, those kind of dulled down, like a Phoenix series, they swept them and beat them handily 3 times and won the one close game. So it's not as surprising that they were able to respond to the Milwaukee loss. So the Milwaukee loss, one of the interesting things was kind of the not surprising, and I'm not even blaming fans, the reaction to that game and what the team said after the game. So the team kind of took the stance of, we're fine, we're good. They acknowledged, like, this was bad, but ultimately we have to win in Memphis. They clearly knew, like we all did, that standings wise, this Memphis game was incredibly important. If you would have said before, if you'd walked up to me pregame in Milwaukee, hey, the Wolves are going to go 1-1, they're going to lose tonight, and they're going to beat Memphis, would you take that? I would have taken that in a heartbeat, because it just, it helped. Winning the Memphis game was way, way, way more important than beating the Milwaukee game. Now, to go to lose to Milwaukee and beat Memphis, you have to win these last two games. If you'd have won both games, you would have had some wiggle room losing to one of these crappy teams down the stretch. But the Memphis game is just so much more important, and the team recognized that. The team knew that they had to get it. And it's not that they were punting the Milwaukee game; it's just that they realized that they had to get it. I understand, and I kind of agree with, there should have been a bit more. It seemed to, I don't know if they were performative or whatever, or if they were hiding their emotions, but there could have been a bit more frustration about what happened that night. And maybe there was before the media got into the locker room. But there, you would like to see a bit more like understanding of how brutal that loss was, or some, maybe like some sort of understanding that this is kind of what they've been all year, and that it's, that it, it is a potential fatal flaw. But ultimately, I kind of side with, what else are they supposed to say? What else do you want them to say? Do you want them to like just start crying in the locker room? No, they had, because they're right, they needed to beat Memphis, and they did. If that, like, once the buzzer sounds, that one's over. You can't, there's nothing they can do about it. And we can talk about like what they should have done about it, them not being able to score against the zone and just turning the ball over, and all that stuff needs to be fixed. But ultimately, that happened. It was in the past once we started talking to them in the locker room, and they had the right attitude. I think to be a professional athlete, you have to either have that mindset of like the next one's the important one, we can't look back, or just like almost like kind of like a jock mindset of like, oh, well, we lost. It's just a basketball game. Like, you got to keep it moving. Like, there's, if you're like, I mean, I'm as neurotic about this stuff as anyone, so I'm not blaming other people, but like, if you're so stuck in like the individual wins and losses, you're just not going to be able to be a professional athlete. Trust me, I'm an expert at not being a professional athlete. How about that? But I just, like, there's a, you can't be, even after just a horrendous loss and a 34-3 run and a 23-0 run in there as well, like, you can't, they clearly did the opposite. I'm not sure, like, my question would be, if they do win that Milwaukee game, and it would, like, in a fashion where like that 24-point lead never gets below like 15, and they just kind of, Memphis or Milwaukee kind of waves the white flag halfway through the fourth quarter before a run even starts, and do the Wolves even beat Memphis? How much, we'll never know. There's no way to know, but like, how much of their record setting third quarter was just like, was frustration about what happened? I don't know. My point on the locker room stuff was just like, I'm not sure what else, bigger picture, they can say. Like, it sucked. They did take some accountability for it, but ultimately their focus needed to be and was on the next game. Finch's press conference afterwards was interesting. Obviously, he echoed, or well, he talked first, but he said the same thing about, like, got to move on. We can't let it. But one thing that John Krasinski of The Athletic asked him, just kind of, what did he felt like this is a microcosm of the season? He had an interesting kind of quick answer back that some, like, nope, this was just a one bad quarter against his own defense. And I would kind of push back against that idea that it was just one bad quarter. The Wolves have clearly shown there's some sort of mental issue they have, either with closing games or late in games, or with games start to fall apart. I don't think that it would be fair to say that that was just one bad quarter against his own defense. Now, was it a microcosm of the entire season? Maybe not. I think you can, there's fair pushback against that idea. But I do think, and maybe if you gave him a day or two to reflect back on it, you would agree that there is an aspect of how that Milwaukee loss took place that has been present in losses this year, and really dating back to that Memphis series 3 years ago. So I don't think it was just a one-off, but I also don't think any 24-point blown fourth quarter lead is likely to happen again. So the biggest thing is how does that loss affect their seeding? Yeah, if they would have won that game along with the Memphis game, they currently would be the fourth seed in the Western Conference. They're currently eighth. Like I kind of said, it's not fair to look at the standings as of right now because the Wolves have two cupcakes they need to win. And I know the jokes people are going to get off. The Wolves are 19-point favorites. Brooklyn has them right where they want them tonight. I understand that. The two other games they were favored by 14 or more points, they won, one of which by a large margin. When they faced New Orleans, the minute New Orleans started punting, they beat up New Orleans by a wide margin. I'm not like, if they were to lose tonight, it would be such an outlier, even compared to their previous standards of losing to teams not at their level. I think that's one aspect of it that I don't think people, there's losing to bad teams, there's losing, blowing games, and then there's like a mile of crap. And then there's tonight's game. And then there's assuming the Jazz are still kind of trying to tank it out as well. These are two incredibly easy games for the Wolves to win. It will take very little positive basketball for them to win these games. And not only that, they come with enormous stakes. The team almost certainly has to know that a loss puts them in the play-in, and a win and two wins clinches them avoiding the play-in, something that they last year talked about being so important about being able to game plan for their opponent. I just have to imagine that they, I'm going to head to the game in like 12 hours or whatever. And that'll be kind of, I'm curious to see what the locker room vibe is, what Finch says. Plan to ask him if someone else doesn't, just like, it's an obvious letdown spot. If the opponent was an actual NBA team, it'd be such an obvious letdown spot after an emotional win and emotional loss two games ago. I'm curious, and even being in the locker room, it's impossible to really gain all of you can't get into people's heads fully, but like, do they understand the gravity of beating these two bottom feeders? Like, it's so important. If they, like, their season hinges on it, and that sounds hyperbolic, but it's just like, you have to win these games. I don't even know how to put it differently. You have to win tonight's game against Brooklyn and Sunday's game against Utah. You have to. So yeah, I'm very curious to see what the vibes are. If probably the opening salvo of the game will be important. Don't give the young guys Brooklyn is rolling out there any light at the end of the tunnel that they can win the game. Obviously, you get up 30, and now we can start to have fun with it or whatever, but you got to win. But now I'm going to kind of dive into the playoff seedings. And what I'm going to do, because if they lose, there's a very minimal, very minuscule chance that they get out of the play-in, and if the win out, they're guaranteed. I'm going to break down the standings as if the Wolves have already won out. And it's not a jinx. I've already talked about how that's not a gimme, but going to talk about it as is and really just look at the loss column. So, Lakers at 3. The Wolves cannot catch them. They can tie them, but the Wolves have the tiebreaker, the Lakers have the tiebreaker, and they have, because they're the division leader and because they have the tiebreaker with their other division counterparts, the Clippers and the Warriors, the Lakers, as long as the Lakers win one of their next two games, one of which is against a Portland team that does have incentive to lose, Portland is tied with Phoenix. That's incredible. If the Lakers win even one of their next two games, they clinch the 3 seed. And even if they don't, the Wolves are mathematically eliminated from the 3 seed. That was true before the Memphis victory. So, what can they do? Basketball Reference has the Wolves' most likely seed at 40%, and that's a 40% including the possibility that the Wolves lose one of these next two games. But they put at 24%, I would not consider the Wolves losing even one game at a 24%. I would say it's 80% or more likely that the Wolves sweep these last two games. But they have the Wolves' most likely seed as a 4 seed. The easiest way to get there, again, Wolves are winning out. They are a game back of the Nuggets and Clippers, who each play the Warriors and Grizzlies, who the Wolves are tied with. There is no scenario where the Warriors or Grizzlies don't have incredible incentive to win. So, the easiest scenario is the Wolves win out. The Grizzlies beat the Nuggets tonight. Now, that's tough. Memphis on a back-to-back. Denver's not. That's a really tough win for Memphis, honestly. It's far from impossible for them to do so. At Denver, back-to-back is always really tough, given the altitude. But Denver has shown the propensity to, I don't know, they just fired their coach. I have no idea what to think of what Denver's got going on. But Denver's 6.5-point favorites, so solid favorites, but far from a crazy result to go the other way. So the Grizzlies beat the Nuggets, and the Warriors on the last day of the regular season beat the Clippers. That would set up a 5-way tie for the 4 seed. Because the Wolves beat the Grizzlies, they have now clinched winning that 5-way tiebreaker. So that would rocket them all the way up to the 4 seed. And in this tiebreaker scenario, they would play the Clippers. So let's talk about the scenario where the Wolves end up losing to, or excuse me, the Nuggets end up beating the Grizzlies, because like I said, really tough back-to-back, that is the most likely scenario. And the Clippers end up winning out, but losing to the Warriors on the last night of the season. That would set up a 3-way tiebreaker for the 5 seed with the Clippers, Warriors, and Timberwolves. The Wolves have that tiebreaker regardless of the Clippers, Warriors outcome. So the Wolves will be the 5 seed going to 4 seed Denver for the playoffs. That's a scenario that would be enticing. As if the Wolves went out, here are the scenarios that have them at 6. Basically, it's a scenario where the Warriors and Grizzlies lose those two games we've been talking about. They fall back into the play-in by themselves. The Wolves are alone at 33 wins, and the Nuggets and Clippers are at 32 wins. Now, there's also a scenario where the Nuggets and Clippers wins their games against the opponents, but either if the Nuggets lose to the Rockets on the final day of the regular season, tough to see given that the Rockets don't appear to be playing for anything, if the Clippers fall back and lose to the Kings tonight, they would fall back to 33 losses. The Wolves have that tiebreaker against either the Nuggets or the Clippers. They swept those teams. So that would be a situation where the Wolves get to play the Nuggets or the Clippers as the 5 seed in the tiebreaker. Honestly, as I look at it more, the Wolves have pretty much every 3-way tiebreaker and 4-way tiebreaker in their advantage. The one that they don't would be is that they're tied with the Clippers, Warriors, and Grizzlies. In that scenario, they finished third in that tiebreaker, but because of the interconnected matchups, the only way for that to happen would be for the Nuggets to lose to the Grizzlies tonight and for them to lose to the Rockets, fully falling past all the teams, meaning the Wolves finishing third in that tiebreaker would put them sixth. So that is why the Wolves are guaranteed to exit the play-in tournament if they win out. So that's a lot. I know it's a lot. It's honestly beyond what I just did. It's not really worth breaking down until after we see the results of tonight, because that will determine a lot. Honestly, after tonight, the only big game, two teams that want to win and have incentive to win, the Clippers and the Warriors on the final night of the regular season, is the only game Western Conference wise that is going to be that type of game. Every other team is either going to be playing a tanking team like the Wolves playing the Jazz, or the Nuggets playing a Rockets team that has solidified their seed. So we will know a lot more again after Friday night's slate of games. But just looking at the percentages, this is off of playoffstatus.com. The Wolves, and again, this is including the chances they have a 13% chance that the Wolves finish out of the play-in. So basically a 13% chance that the Wolves lose one of these two remaining games. So they have it as the Wolves are the most likely team, according to playoff status and Basketball Reference projected standings. The Wolves are the favorite to get the four seed at 43%. Now, that's a number I would kind of push back on because I don't think their systems know that the Rockets aren't going to not try against the Nuggets on the last night of the regular season. I'm not sure they know that the Kings playing the Nugget or the Kings playing the Clippers tonight, they probably do correctly have the theoretical win-loss percentages for that game. But that's the biggest thing. I think a lot of that percentage is based on the fact that the Nuggets would, against a Rockets team that's trying, would be less than 50% to win, which would help that percentage for the Wolves. But it's still it's not hard to get a scenario where the Wolves are the fourth seed. After that, they have a 25% chance at the five seed. Honestly, this is probably my most likely seed as a five seed. Likely one of the Nuggets or Clippers lose one of their games. They fall down into the standings and the Wolves bump up into the five seed to play likely the Clippers or the Nuggets in that scenario. Certainly better. I'd prefer that scenario to playing the Lakers and certainly obviously having to deal with the play-in tournament. Next, 20% chance at a six seed. That we've kind of talked about those scenarios. Really, all four of the 4, 5, 6 playoff scenarios are each equally likely. Like I said, the Lakers are almost certainly going to be the three seed. They got even if they lose tonight against the Rockets team not trying, they have a game against the Trailblazers who are tanking. They just need one to clinch that three seed. So if the Wolves are the six seed, they will head to Los Angeles. If they are the four seed, their likely opponent is the Clippers, but the Nuggets would also be a potential five seed there. And if the Wolves end up the five seed, they will face either likely the Nuggets or the Clippers there. So yeah, I guess theoretically for me, if I'm looking at booking flights or whoever, Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets seem like the most likely playoff scenarios, assuming the Wolves win out. And that is not a guarantee, but certainly I prefer being 19.5-point favorites than being 6.5-point favorites like some other teams. So that's going to wrap it up with me for tonight. Kind of an experiment here for a solo pod. Never done it before. I talked for over half an hour. That's kind of amazing. But Sunday night to post Monday morning, Leo and I will discuss these last two games of the regular season. The Wolves will The Wolves will likely have a playoff opponent by then. If they don't, they had lost one of these two games, and that's going to be, that'll be a discussion to talk about. But Monday morning in your feeds, Leo and I will have a pod for you discussing everything. We'll break down, assuming they do make the playoffs, we'll have kind of a more deep dive into that playoff matchup, either with Leo or another guest. Schedule was tough, so I just wanted to hop on and do a quick solo pod, but yeah, we'll talk to you. You'll hear from me again Monday. Catch my recaps on Canis Hoopas these next two games. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Go Wolves! Ayoo!